2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 11 through chapter 7, verse 1. I think the world's population is somewhere around 7 billion plus, if I'm correct on that. I'm thankful that the Lord thinks of this little me out of all those people. And you as well. It's amazing, isn't it, that God keeps everything straight in our lives and thinks of us as individuals. 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. For all who are able, we would ask that you would kneel for prayer.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you'll be able to hear me this morning, especially the scripture references, that if you can at least catch them, and you can turn to them and worship the Lord. We're here to worship God, whether or not I have a voice or not. So let's worship. Let's look into his word. Let's exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's see where we can grow as he speaks to us through his word. The title of this message has been brewing for months. Promises call for responses. For over a year now, the promises in God's word have become exceedingly meaningful to me. I believe I knew they were all there before, but they have been enlarged. They have been given a sharper focus in my life. And so, when we enter difficulty in life, it's a good reaction to be turned to God's word. And as I looked from promise to promise that God has for his children, I noticed a pattern that these promises would be followed up with a call upon my own life. And I found myself lacking. These promises I found in Scripture repeatedly, there was a response called for. Oh yes, we love the promise. We love to read these promises in God's Word, and we like to claim them for our own. But what about the call to respond? By submitting our evil and stubborn and willful and sinful ways back into his hands. We love the promises. What God has challenged me with, that along with the promise, embrace the response that is called for in God's word. And this morning, I simply ask you to forgive me for my voice and listen in to what God has been telling me about his promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In the Word of God, we have exceeding great. The language that's used here, the strong words that are used here, exceeding great and precious. The Word of God, what he says he will do, what he says he is doing right now, they are exceeding great and they are precious. But are they to you and I? Want to consider this morning some of God's promises and the responses that are called for by you and by me. 2 Corinthians, our brother read, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll start here. And we see some promises here, and I want us to note a theme in a lot of these promises that we turn to this morning, that you and I are counted as sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. And I hope none of us takes such a thing lightly. In verse 16 here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There is the promise. We are given a promise there that God wants us for his own people. And he does. He wants us Gentiles just like he wanted the Jews to be his people. They shall be my people. And immediately a response is called for. Wherefore? Because of this promise, because I want you to be my people, wherefore come out from among them, out from among the world, out from among the evil, out from among the sin, out from among the wickedness. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And the promise comes again, I will receive you. You see, they're together. The promise, the call for response, the call for action, the call for a life that matches and honors the God who wants us. And the promise continues here, I will receive you, and verse 18, will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so we have the promise here. We have the response called for. The response that's called for is sandwiched between the promises here. They shall be my people. Come out from among them. Are we doing that? Not just as a church, but each one of us as individuals. That's more subtle and complicated than we might think, living in this world and being ingrained in the culture and just everything around us. We're saturated in our society with worldliness, with selfishness, with pleasure seeking and evil. How are we doing about coming out from among them? The promise is, I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters. I don't know if we comprehend this morning how great that is, how valuable that is, how that should make the world all seem distant and unfamiliar and inadequate and not dissatisfying. And so the promise to be a father unto us and to make you and I sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty, chapter 7, verse 1, continues with the call for response. And it says very clearly there, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, this is what you and I are being called to. We have received these great, exceeding great and precious promises. Now we are being called upon to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, which are God's, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A separated life is a sanctified life. It's a holy life lived for a holy God. A person must separate their actions, their attitudes, and come on to God's holiness, onto his righteousness. We must even separate from people. And I'm not saying the Christian should be isolated from this world. We need to be a salt and we need to be a light. I know that. But we need to separate sometimes from evil people, because we know deep within ourselves that that person, that influence, that relationship is dragging us down spiritually. And so we need to separate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are promised. We are promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I cannot comprehend that, because I know I'm an earthling. I know I'm of the flesh. I know I fail. I cannot comprehend that, but I believe it and I accept it. I embrace it, that I have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. What a promise. That we have him with us, the Comforter. We have a reminder here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we've been bought. A response is called for to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. We have this response called for here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 20. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just want to expand a little bit on this. He says there in verse 17, I will receive you. And then in verse 18, we have the promise of God. I hope we can to some degree, comprehend the incredibleness of this promise. To be sons and daughters, to be family. You know, you sons and daughters that are here this morning, sitting with your parents, you belong to them. They love you. You're precious in their sight. They're caring for you. They want all the best for you. That is what we have in God. He hath adopted us. He hath declared us as sons and daughters. We can't totally comprehend this, but it'll do our souls good to meditate on it. There's a struggle between our spirit and flesh. I know that. I know that very well. A struggle between spirit and flesh. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, he went on and on there, and he said things like, that which I would, I do not. And that which I would not, that I do. There is a struggle. But I think it's high time to quit making excuses. And I think it's high time we got more excited about our response to these exceedingly great and precious promises of God. It's time we got serious about them. We're running out of time. Our loved ones, our brothers and sisters are going down the valley one by one. How much time do you think you have? How much time do I think I have? Let's get serious about our response to a loving God. He hath embraced us as sons and daughters. Let's embrace Him. Let's embrace the highway of holiness. Perfecting holiness. The way to perfect holiness is to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That gets us on the highway to perfecting holiness. And it is all done in the attitude and in the spirit of the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Sons and daughters, dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the hope of eternal life, the hope of the dead in Christ rising first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. All this hope, all these promises. What kind of a life should you and I live in light of these promises? We're told to cleanse ourselves. That means we make choices. Yes, we have the righteousness imputed unto us. We have the holiness imputed unto us. But we are called to a life of holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Cleanse from all filthiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed. He avoided at all costs. He shunned evil. He was a man who cleansed himself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. He was all for perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God. With that proper reverence and awe of the Lord Almighty, as He is called there at the end of our text there in 2 Corinthians 6:18. The Lord Almighty. We want to build on this theme by going to 1 John chapter 3. First three verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. Right now. Right now, you're a son of God. Right now, you're a daughter of God through Jesus Christ. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But there's one thing we do know. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him, our response, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so here we have a promise of God, and we have a response called for, and it builds on the promises and calls for response in 2 Corinthians 6 and 7 there. Verse 1, what manner of love? What manner of love? Called the sons of God. You know how love works in the world. The world loves those that love them. The world loves those who do things for them. The world loves those who bow to them. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right now we are the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Right now. We are the sons and daughters of God. We dare not forget that. We need to remember that we are sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. It will guard our actions and our attitudes. It will guard what we do. It will guard what we think and dwell on. It says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. No, we do not have all the details of glory. We do not have all the details of heaven. But there's one thing we do know. 1 John 3, verse 2, there's one thing we do know, but we know that. This one we do know. When he shall appear, when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's over the top. That's incredible. Do we realize what a promise this is? The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, the lovely and pure Jesus Christ, in his glorified state, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How can we refuse the response that is called upon us in verse 3? He that hath this promise, he that hath this hope in him, to be like Jesus, to see him as he is. He that hath this promise, he that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Don't forget, God gave this to me, and I'm sharing it with you. God allowed me some beautiful pictures of my wife beyond all the pain and disease. And it's an inspiration to me to be faithful. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. If that cell phone is making a weakling out of you, and you're struggling terribly and you're getting weaker and weaker spiritually, I give you permission to jump up right now and take it out and slam it on the pavement and jump up and down on it. Make not provision for the flesh. There are certain things I don't want near me because I'm still living in the flesh. Let's keep building on this thought. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, again the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. When he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The promise. The promise that when Jesus Christ appears, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The promise, exceeding great and precious. What response is called for here? Well, it really builds on 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 and 1 John chapter 3. It goes into a lot more detail. When it says here to mortify, put to death, get rid of your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. This is the response that is called for, that when Jesus Christ appears, we shall also appear with him in glory. A great precious promise. Because of that promise, we are to embrace this response to put to death, to put off all these things of the flesh, all these sins, these things that are contrary to purity and holiness and the fear of God. Verse 8, now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. This whole thing is the call of response to a great promise of God. Put on the new man, renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. A response is called for when we are given the promise that when Christ shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. There's a promise in Romans 8. And I hope the response that is called for would not make anyone among us want to reject the promise. But it should make us think. Romans chapter 8, 15 to 17. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see this theme continuing, God our Father, we are sons and daughters. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine a promise so great and lofty, so exceeding great and precious, that we would be joint heirs with Christ? Again, I can hardly comprehend this, but I embrace it, I accept it. It is the Word of God. It is God's promise to us that we can be joint heirs with Christ if so be. The response that is called for, if so be, that we suffer with Him. Now, I realize this suffering with Christ might have various faces. But are we willing? Have we ever suffered for Christ? No, I don't think any of you or I have suffered for Christ by being put in prison. It could come. None of us have been put to death for Christ. It could come. But have your own selfish goals, motives, and motivations of life, have they ever suffered for Christ? Have they ever been crucified? Have they been put down? And in that way, have you suffered for Christ? That you might indeed be joint heirs with Christ. Do we realize who we are in Jesus Christ? Do we realize who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High? We should gladly embrace these promises, and then we should gladly embrace the responses that are called for. What holds us back? Let's give it all to God. Give all the glory to God. Give all the glory that your life can muster up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalt Him. Lift Him high in this dark world around us. We have absolutely nothing but glory in the future. All our pains and all our sorrows and all our troubles are going to be over one day. And it's going to be glory. And we're going to wonder maybe why we didn't do more. Why we didn't embrace these responses fully. And work for the Lord. I shared the next one I share with you here. I shared in an earlier sermon, but I'm going to repeat it briefly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have the great and exceeding great and precious promise of the resurrection. And that we who are on this earth yet will be changed. We have this great, exceeding precious promise here in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ is risen from the dead. We have the great promise here that the corruptible that we are now in is going to be changed for incorruptible. And we have the promise that this mortal that we put up with now is going to be changed for immortality. And the Bible says there that then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And the challenging question goes forth, death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The promise is victory. The promise is resurrection. The promise is victory. And then the response that is called for is in the last verse of that chapter. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Did you know that God had a breach of promise? Numbers chapter 14. Twelve spies were sent out into the land of Canaan to check out the land, to bring back a report. Numbers chapter 13, 10 of those spies said, the people that live there, they eat up anybody that comes. We're the size of grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can't do it. And they scared the people and they filled the people with fear to the point that they would not listen to the good spies, Caleb and Joshua, who said, let us go up at once and possess this land, this promise, the promise of God that he would give his children this promised land. They would not listen. They wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. That's what they wanted to do. Numbers 14, 30 to 34. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. The promise of God was rejected, not by God, but by the people he gave it to. It was made of none effect. Paul talks about that in Romans. He talks there about being saved by grace through faith. If you go back to the law, the promise is made of none effect. The point is, brothers and sisters, the promises of God are rejected by people, and then they are of no effect. These children of Israel could have had the promised land. It was their promise. It was promised to them. But because they did not have faith in God, after all he did for them, the miraculous deliverance out of Egypt, the Red Sea, and all that he did for them. Do we believe God with all our heart? Is our faith solid? No matter what storms hit us and blow upon us, that God is still God and he's in control and he still has everything right in his hands. It's been a challenge to me, brothers and sisters, that I'm a child of God. I'm his son. And he calls upon me to cleanse my way before him, before his holiness, in the fear of him. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. No, that's not it. Oh well. I'll leave the message with you. Promises call for responses.
It is clearly spoken this morning. Let's kneel as we pray.